5.
Good morning and welcome to Shattering Myths. This is the program where we expose the myths that are associated with religion and politics, with military and economic schemes, and there are plenty of them. Instead of merely presenting the news this morning, I'm going to explain why these things are happening and what they portend for our future. During our second hour, we will turn our attention to Yahweh's testimony and consider his covenant through his Torah, which means teaching, not law. Our goal in this hour will be to replace religion with reason. Our phone number for those who would like to engage in this discussion is 877-300-7645. As predicted yesterday, Sandy was the largest and most powerful storm to hit the northeastern United States. Atlantic City took the brunt of the storm, with 80% of the gambling Mecca 8 feet underwater. New York City's subway system was devastated by an unprecedented 14-foot storm surge, which inundated lower Manhattan, incurring more damage in one night than the subway had in its previous 107-year history. The storm, after causing well over $20 billion in damages and killing 15 Americans, leaving 6 million homes and businesses powerless, is still howling with sustained winds at 65 miles an hour, emanating out of a low of 960 millibars. As a result, Sandy is being called the storm of the century. And yet, according to Yahusha, during his Olivet Discourse, a time where he quoted vociferously from Zechariah, the upheaval is just beginning, and it's going to get worse, much worse. Deception, terrorism, international conflict, and paralyzing natural disasters, including hurricanes, tornadoes, tsunamis, and earthquakes, according to God, will all increase in frequency and in strength over the next 21 years. So we'll see who's right. Was this the storm of the century, and therefore we're not likely to see anything of this magnitude or power influence our nation over the next 21 years? Or is Yahusha right when he said that these things would be like birth pangs, increasing both in frequency and power prior to his return? Yesterday we were considering an article from the New York Times regarding the desperation of Americans, the fact that Americans have become so insecure that they won't even tolerate a national political candidate saying anything other than America is the greatest country, it's the most powerful country, it's the freest country, it's the most prosperous country, and on ad nauseum, when those things are no longer true. And America is the most indebted country. It is the most incarcerated country on earth. And so, even as it relates to freedom, we are the most militant nation in the history of mankind. And so, what the New York Times chose to use as the point of contention about politicians on the left and right ignoring the truth was how Democrats want to ignore the deficit, which is now above 110% of gross national product. And the Republicans want to ignore global warming. So I promised that I would relay some information to you regarding global warming. And since hurricanes are initially born in warm waters, this might be interesting to you. The fact is, the world stopped getting warmer 16 years ago, according to data released this past week. The figures, which have triggered debate among climate scientists but aren't being discussed in the mainstream media, reveal that from the beginning of 1997 through August of 2012, there was no discernible rise in aggregate global temperatures. This means that the so-called plateau or pause, this is putting in quotes those words, plateau and pause, in global warming has now lasted for about the same period of time as the previous period when temperatures actually did rise from 1980 to 1996. But before that, temperatures had actually declined for the previous 40 years. In other words, there is no trend. Warmer or even cooler. 40 years of decline followed by 15, 16 years of modest incline followed by 16 years of no change whatsoever. The new data, compiled from more than 3,000 measuring points on land and sea, was issued quietly on the Internet without any media fanfare, and it has been underreported, to say the least. This stands in sharp contrast to the release of previous figures 6 months ago, which went only to the end of 2010, which was a very warm year. Ending the data then means that it is possible to show an ever so slight warming trend since 1997. But 2011 and the first 8 months of 2012 were much, much cooler, and thus the trend was completely erased. Some climate scientists, such as Professor Phil Jones, director at the Climatic Research Unit at the University of Ich Angila, last week dismissed the significance of this non-event of the plateau, saying that 15 or 16 years is too short a period of time from which to draw any conclusions. And yet it was the 15 years before the 16 years that they drew all of their conclusions. Others disagreed. Professor Judith Curry, who is head of the Climate Science Department of America's prestigious Georgia Tech University, told the Mail, this is a report from the UK, on Sunday, that it was clear that the computer models used to predict future warming were deeply flawed. Even Professor Jones admitted that he and his colleagues did not understand the impact of natural variability, factors such as long-term ocean temperature cycles and changes in the output of the sun. However, he said that he was still convinced that the current decade would end up significantly warmer than the previous two. It takes faith, my friends, to believe the rhetoric of the socialist who would make you think that man is in control of the universe. The two regular data, the regular data that is collected on global temperatures is called Hardcourt 4, as it is jointly issued by the Met Office's Hadley Center, that's in the UK, while the Met Office and others try to spin their way out of the current 16-year flatlining of warming, it is important to remember a few points that were made in the past. In the much ballyhooed 2008 the NOAA, which is an American institution for oceanic atmosphere testing, said that the State of Climate report on climate change concerning the climate models, something quite relevant is reported. This is a quote from the NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmosphere Agency. It says, near zero and even negative trends are common for intervals of a decade or less in our simulations due to the model's internal climate variability. But The simulations rule out, at the rate of a 95% level, zero trends for intervals of 15 years or more, suggesting that an observed absence of warming of this duration is needed to create a discrepancy with the expected present-day warming rate. But friends, what just happened is, by their own admission, proves a discrepancy in the expected present level warming rate. In other words, the whole model of global warming, where mankind has to completely change, and that we should exchange wealth between countries, redistribution of wealth. You've heard of that. That's the Kyoto Accords. It's all based on a myth. Climate change is occurring. Global warming is not occurring. The presidential campaigns got very nasty this morning. I saw, speaking of nasty, Biden on the media reporting that the Romney campaign lied when it reported that Chrysler was planning, and it actually would be Fiat because they own Chrysler now, was planning on moving production of the Jeep brand to China. And so if it's true, if a Romney ad and speech wrongly stated that Chrysler was moving Jeep production to China, then it will be a fatal blow for Romney for having being that misinformed, if it's not true. And if it is true, then it will take an all-hands-on-deck assault from the liberal media to infer that this president didn't simply give Chrysler to Fiat for Fiat to increase production in China and for Fiat to sell the Fiat 500, an Italian-made vehicle, in the United States in Chrysler's showrooms. So here's the story as I read it from a number of liberal media outlets and became concerned that, well, I don't support Mitt Romney, that he had done himself in. Here is it, Dateline Toledo, Ohio. The ad from the Romney campaign showed up on televisions here early Saturday morning without the usual public announcement that both campaigns typically use to herald their latest commercials. Chrysler, a bailout recipient, is going to begin producing Jeeps in China, an announcer says, leaving the misleading impression that the move would come at the expense of jobs here. Simply said, Chrysler is going to begin producing Jeeps in China. That's the statement. Is it true? Did Chrysler make such a statement? We'll investigate this comment and the nature of American politics and how liars vie for your trust in a moment. I am Yada. This is Shattering Myths. To Shattering Myths, I'm your host, Yadup. The news from virtually every major media outlet is that Romney is misleading the American people by announcing that Chrysler is going to move production of Jeeps to China. And so we, as we read in those trying to salvage the only positive thing that the President of the United States can convey to the American people economically, is it true? Did Chrysler make such an announcement? Are they in negotiations to do this very thing, or is it untrue? Well, this liberal article, this now from the Toledo, Ohioan, which is one of those swing states, it says that it, and so began what is perhaps the most important attempt by Romney to wrest Ohio into his column. His efforts to do so is now intently focused at times, including statements that stretch or ignore the facts. So the media in Ohio, its leading newspaper here, is saying that, as are virtually every major newspaper in the country, that Romney either ignored or stretched the facts, knocking down what is perhaps the most important component of President Obama's appeal to blue-collar workers in Ohio and across the industrial Midwest, the success of the president's 2009 auto bailout. And by the way, it has not been a success. General Motors is half of its former size, and it has radically increased its presence in China, and now Chrysler is serving as showrooms for the Fiat Italian automaker, and it is also dramatically increasing its presence in China, while the one automaker that was not affected by the president's bailout, Ford, continues to prevail. It is a high-risk strategy. Jeep's corporate parent Chrysler had already released a scathing statement calling the suggestions that Jeep was moving American jobs to China's fantasies and extravagant. News media outlets here and nationally have called the Romney campaign statements initially based upon, now listen to this, now this is in 100% of these articles, initially based upon poorly worded quotation from Chrysler in a news article that was misinterpreted by blogs, misleading. Okay, so Chrysler is now saying it's fantasies and extravagant, and the media internationally is saying that the Romney campaign statements are misleading and based upon poorly worded quotation from Chrysler in a news article misinterpreted by blogs. And so the first thing I tried to do is I said, all right, let me just Google this poorly worded quotation from Chrysler and see, did Chrysler actually make a statement that was poorly communicated and then did somebody twist it? You know, I wanted to do a fact check. And when I did, I found hundreds upon hundreds of articles around the country that had exactly that line, that had exactly, they had colluded to all say that Romney was misleading and that he had taken a poorly worded quotation and then twisted it based upon it being misinterpreted by the blogs. The line was ubiquitous, which means there's collusion amongst the liberal media. Finding, however, the actual article, now that's another story. It was difficult, but I found it because wasn't a blog. Romney referencing this Bloomberg article, and I will read to you the article in a moment from Bloomberg. Bloomberg is arguably the most reputable financial reporting agency in the United States. It was founded by the current mayor of New York, Bloomberg, and it is now, to many investors, a more credible source of information, a more current and accurate source of information than even the Wall Street Journal. But the worst that can be said of Bloomberg is that it is the second most credible source of economic and financial information as it relates to major corporations. Well, Romney was referencing a Bloomberg article, not a blog, when he said that he saw a story that one of the great manufacturers in this state, Jeep, he's now in Ohio, now owned by the Italians, which is a factual statement Obama gave Chrysler to Fiat, is thinking, and they didn't pay for it, he gave it to them, is now, this is the quote, is thinking of moving all production to China. The Detroit Free Press and Obama campaign are now in full spin mode to show that Romney lied and the Jeep move when actually Romney was right. We're going to have more on this story when we return and speak about the liars of American politics. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. We're talking about the lies that permeate American politics. If if it were true that that someone high up in Fiat that controls Chrysler and therefore the Jeep brand said that they were planning on moving the production of Jeeps to China, if that's true, and if therefore it is an accurate statement, then you've got two things working here. One is that Romney's commercial is accurate, and second, the moves, the desperation moves by the liberal media to say exactly the opposite, that Romney is lying here, would demonstrate how prevalent and acceptable lies are with the left in this country. Well, this, of course, if it's true, would be highly damaging to Obama's campaign efforts to use his auto bailout, quote-unquote, success story to woo Ohio voters so that the left-wing media machine is outspinning Romney's reference published media reports as a blatant attempt to skew a wire story. The Detroit Free Press started its spin with the following article. Now, the Detroit Free Press is the lead paper in that area and also extraordinarily liberal. It says, Republican presidential candidate Mitt Romney falsely claimed Thursday night that Chrysler may move all Jeep vehicle production to China, drawing criticism from the Obama campaign, which said that the Michigan native had blatantly skewed a news wire story. All right, so they're saying that he blatantly lied and that Mitt Romney falsely claimed. Shortly after the news broke, Chrysler went into damage control mode as well. Chrysler's vice president of communications, now this is not the owner Fiat, and this is not the president, this is not the chairman, this is the vice president of communications, Gualberto Roninelli, who is obviously Italian because guess who owns Chrysler now, said, let's set the record straight. Jeep has no intention of shifting production of its Jeep models out of North America to China. That's a quote-unquote. A direct contradiction, however, to the statements made by Mike Manley, the president of the Jeep brand. Manley said that Fiat is in quote-unquote very detailed conversations with its Chinese partner, Guangzhou Automotive Group, about making Jeeps in the world's largest auto market. Manley continued saying that they are reviewing the opportunities within existing capacity for a move to China and considering if they should, quote, be localizing the entire Jeep portfolio or just some of the Jeep portfolio, end quote. That statement clearly shows that Jeep is considering moving its entire line to China, which is what Romney said. Romney didn't say that Jeep was definitely moving its entire line. The presidential candidate simply echoed Mike Manley's comment that they are thinking about it. The knee-jerk spin effort by the left is clearly a panic mode, and Chrysler is likely responding to the pressure from the Obama campaign and of groups friendly to the campaign, such as its unions, which are also now major shareholders of both Chrysler and GM. If Bloomberg got the story wrong or misquoted a Jeep representative, then a retraction or a correction should be issued. The fact that a major news outlet reported the story and Romney simply said he was concerned about that story is in no way indicative of Romney being untruthful. Fiat is following GM's lead as General Motors had announced that it would be increasing its manufacturing output in China instead of adding output to American factories. It is as clear as it could possibly be. And in this particular case, the Bloomberg article is absolutely clear. It says Fiat, S-P-A. This is from Bloomberg, directly from Bloomberg. A majority owner of Chrysler Group, LLC, plans to return Jeep output to China and may eventually make all of its models in that country, according to the head of both automotive's operations in the region. Fiat is in very detailed discussions with its Chinese partner, Guangzhou Automotive Group, about making Jeeps in the world's largest auto market, said Mike Manley, chief operating officer of Fiat in Asia. Chrysler hasn't built Jeeps there since before Fiat took control in 2009. Quote, the volume opportunity for us is very significant, Manley, who is also president of the Jeep brand, said in an interview at Chrysler's Auburn Hills, Michigan headquarters. We're reviewing the opportunities within existing capacity as well as should we be locating the entire Jeep portfolio or some of the Jeep portfolio. Chrysler, which entered an alliance with the Turin, Italy-based Fiat as part of its U.S. government-backed bankruptcy, which, by the way, the Turin-based Fiat paid nothing for, is relying on growth in China to counter weakness in Europe's automakers market. The automaker is targeting 500,000 annual sales outside of North America by 2014 to more than triple its volume. That's the article as it begins with absolutely no edits. Didn't read anything out of context. That's the article. By the way, Ford Motor Company, the one that the president didn't bail out, is continuing to outperform the two that the government did bail out. Ford Motor Company on Tuesday posted a third-quarter profit that trounced expectations due to higher vehicle prices worldwide and high record profit margins of 12% in North America. To me, this is a quote from Chief Financial Officer Bob Shanks. The story isn't just the results in the quarter, but the consistency of the results. Ford expects U.S. auto sales will be 14.7 million this year. Ford's strength in North America has offset a sharp industry downturn in Europe and Ford's lagging position in growth markets, especially China. Well, Chrysler and Fiat are now exporting their jobs and manufacturing to China and are capitalizing on China, and Ford is not. So exactly the opposite of what the President of the United States claimed that he achieved is what has actually occurred. Pretty sad, huh? Moving to another item in the news. Poland's Catholic Church has warned that modern Halloween rituals risk promoting the occult. Did you catch that? Poland's Catholic Church has warned that Halloween rituals promote the occult. In a statement on its website, the church said that celebrating Halloween could contradict church teachings and Christianity. This, is, by the way, is being reported by the BBC. One archbishop said the 31 October celebrations were promoting paganism to young people. Archbishop Andes Dziga warned that Halloween was behind a culture of death. This kind of fun, tempting children like candy, also poses the real possibility of great spiritual damage, even destroying spiritual life. The archbishop wrote in a letter to be read out at Sunday sermons, including the Polish press agency. He wrote that irresponsible and anti-Christian fun introduced young people to a world of darkness, including devils, vampires, and demons, in the name of fun. The Archbishop's statement echoes that of the Catholic Church in Poland, which warned about the occult rituals, the fact that they contradicted the teachings of their church. The All Saints religious feast is widely celebrated in the largely Catholic nation, with relatives often traveling across the country to tend to the graves of late relatives, decorating them with lanterns and wreaths. But the American-style practice of carving pumpkins and dressing up as monsters, ghouls, and devils the night before has also become increasingly popular. Now, is it true that Halloween is pagan, that it smacks of the occult? Absolutely. But for the Roman Catholic Church to disparage it, when they in fact popularized it and embraced it, is hypocritical in the extreme, and it exposes the very heart and soul of this repulsive human institution. So, we're going to take a moment, we're going to take this segment and the next, to share how theologians, especially Roman Catholics, have robbed so many of Yah's truth by promoting pagan religious schemes. You see, All Saints Day, known as All Hallows Eve, and now shortened to Halloween, is a direct counterfeit of the actual intended purpose of the Day of Reconciliations, Yom Kippurim. It was originally celebrated as a Celtic festival which focused on the dead. This was the day, or so it was believed, that the deceased tormented the living, plaguing them with diseases, damaging their crops. These spirits needed to be appeased, so costumes were worn by the living to mimic the dead spirits they were trying to placate. The Celts even carved gold gourds, similar to today's jack-o'-lanterns, and placed a candle inside to symbolize the head of the deceased. Jack was supposedly a drunken Irishman who made a deal with the devil and tricked him by carving a cross into a tree. Now, I don't know how that would trick the devil, but nonetheless, that is the story. The devil is said to have cursed Jack, forcing him to wander aimlessly all night carrying a candle inside of a hollowed-out turnip. The tradition of All Hallows' Eve grew in popularity to the extent that it became part of the most pagan of European religious festivals. To counter its appeal, Pope Gregory III moved All Saints' Day, the Catholic necromantic holiday celebrating the dead, from May 9th, 11th, and 13th to coincide with the pagan festival of All Hallows' Eve, observed on October 31st. So we're going to consider the Roman Catholic Church's embracing the very thing that they now say is of the occult. I'm Yada, this is Shattering Myths. Shattering Myths. I'm your host, Yana. We were talking about the Roman Catholic Church and their duplicity. They took this necromantic day where the dead were celebrated in pagan religious festivals and moved their All Hallows Eve so that it coincided with it. This is not unlike the Roman Catholic Church taking the two most popular pagan ceremonies, Easter and the celebration of the birth of the Son of the Sun, the Saturnalia, and calling one Easter Sunday and the other Christmas, and embracing both as the holiest days on the Christian calendar, when in fact they are nothing but pagan celebrations. Now, this move was particularly incriminating because of the history of All Hallows' Eve. It was originally called Lemures, the basis of All Saints' Days. It's a reenactment of a Roman religious observance called the Lemuria, where rites were designed to exorcise malevolent and fearsome ghosts from one's home. The Lemures, or restless dead, were given treats to keep them from playing tricks on Roman families. By way of background, in a reenactment of Romulus appeasing the spirit of Remus, pagan Romans tossed black beans over their shoulder at night, reciting, quote, "With these beans I redeem me and mine," nine times. Everyone in their household would then bang pots, repeating, "Ghosts of my fathers and ancestors be gone." So Pope Boniface IV of Roman Catholic Church on culminating the day of Lemuria in 610 CE, consecrated, which is to say he dedicated and approved for a sacred religious purpose, the high day of pagan spirituality and of all places the Rome's pantheon. And Rome's home to all of the gods is where the Pope dedicated this day. His devotion was specifically made to the Blessed Virgin and to all of the saints, which I'm sure made the pagan goddess from whom Easter is named and the Madonna and Child very happy. The worship of dead spirits or saints is necromancy, and it is called an abomination by God. He says in Devarim 18, 10 through 12, there shall not be found among you one causing his son or daughter to participate in magic, fortune-telling, witchcraft, or consulting with dead spirits. This is Shalalob, one who invokes the deceased, an act of calling upon dead spirits for approval and support, praying to saints. This would be all of the prayers to Mary, all of the prayers to Catholic saints. According to God is an abomination, or one who beguiles by summoning spirits, one who causes the premature death of others by way of the destructive worship of heathen deities. All who do these things are an abomination. They are hated and detested by Yahweh. The purpose of Christianizing the Roman religious festival was to make all things pagan Catholic, making it easier to assimilate the masses and thus control them. So the adherents of the Roman sun god worship diminished over time, and there were more and more pagans to assimilate. All Saints' Day was moved to October 31st to coincide with the Northern European observance of All Hallows' Eve. It was then that Pope Gregory III approved, this was back in the 8th century, 731, approved and dedicated it, sanctifying it in the Basilica of St. Peter, saying, it was a day for all saints, and it should be observed as a day of fasting. The fasting aspect of the papal edict most likely arose because the date of All Hallows' Eve most closely follows Yom Kippurim, the rabbinical day of fasting and self-denial. He knew what he was doing. He was creating a counterfeit. And now the Roman Catholic Church is denouncing what the Pope has done. The religious holiday known as Halloween came to America with the arrival of the Catholic Irish during the potato famine. It has subsequently grown into one of the nation's most celebrated evenings. In the process, the pagan and necromantic celebration of Halloween has become a widely popular counterfeit of Yahweh's sixth mikra, his invitation to meet with him and to be reconciled in the relationship. It, of course, in this way, is identical to another Roman celebration, Dies Natalis Solis Invicti, the birthday of the uncomparable Son. Today it is known as Christmas.
If you suffer seasonal or environmental allergies and your doctor has told you that the only answer is medications for the rest of your life, Dr. Peter Glidden